Yes. What I'd like to do in today's share is finish off this issue with a very fascinating discussion about hearing aids. How interesting can hearing aids be? Well, you'll see how interesting they can be in halacha, and also deal with a separate topic, which is the issue of, can you fulfill a mitzvah? We haven't talked about this, but it's appropriate to do this now. Can you fulfill a mitzvah when hearing it through amplification, or on Skype, or on the TV, or indeed through a hearing aid? At what point do we turn around and say, well, you're not really listening to the real thing, you're listening to something else, and that's not called a mitzvah? We'll look at that. Just a little bit of a looking ahead, Be'ezrat Hashem, what I'd like to do in the next mini-series, I'd like to change topic completely and look at some very interesting contemporary issues relating to gender, to men and to women. And I'd like to start next week with a shiur on the issue of transgender, which will, I think, be very fascinating. And we need to have a little bit of a look at that, because it's becoming more and more of a question. I had a Shiloh from a student a few weeks ago who is moving in New York into a new dorm. She's a woman in her late 20s. She's just discovered that the young lady that she's dorming with used to be a man and is now a young woman. And this is a Shiloh that she sent me. Is she allowed to dorm with this young person? Are they a man? Are they a woman? Is it a yichud issue? And therefore, this is not just a fringe question anymore, a theoretical question. This is a real question, and we'll have a little look at that. We'll see how that works. But that's not for now. For now, that's just a little bit of an advert for next week. For now, we look at the issue of hearing aids and microphones. Let's recap what we saw last week. And I've given you on the sheet a quick recap as well. Last week we saw that Rav Moshe Feinstein clearly prohibited using a microphone on Shabbat, even if it's been modified in some way. He wasn't happy with it, and he gave four reasons, and we'll revisit those a little bit today for hearing aids. He gave four reasons, two of which he said were d'oraita. Maybe he wasn't entirely clear if they were really d'oraita issues, but he was not happy with making an imprint on the electrical machinery in some way. He wasn't happy with increasing the current, although we saw last week that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is less concerned with increasing and decreasing current, only with turning it on and off. The two rabbinic reasons he gave were, number one, Hashma'at Kol, where he said there is a prohibition in the Gemara rabbinically to cause noise on Shabbos, loud noise on Shabbos, because people will say, oh, they've just turned that on. The example of the Gemara was putting the wheat into the mill to grind on Shabbos. People won't realize that you activated it on Friday. People will think that you're breaking Shabbos. And a second rabbinic prohibition of Shema Yitakin Kli Shir, that whenever you're playing some kind of a instrument, then Chazal were concerned you might come to tune it, to fix it, and said, Rav Moshe, since microphones go wrong so often, and people fiddle with them and need to stop the feedback and to turn them on, etc., he said that's also a problem, and therefore he clearly prohibited microphones on Shabbat. And that is the general consensus of most poskim, that microphones do present halachic issues on Shabbat, as well as the question of whether it's in the spirit of Shabbat, whether it's Shabbastik, Uvdin Dechol, we talked about that a little bit. We also saw some very sharp words from some poskim about the fact that microphones are the dividing line in some ways, one of the defining features between Orthodox and non-Orthodox congregations. A bit like machitzas, or maybe davening in English. Sometimes these things are not themselves halachic issues to the degree that you would expect them to be, and yet they become defining issues. Let's just take the last example. Let's say we decide to change all of the davening all over the world into English, or French, or German, or whatever you're deciding, but just scrap the Hebrew, because nobody really understands it anyway, let's say. Now, halachically speaking, that would not be such a massive move. There are significant heterim to be able to daven in English if people understand it better, but you know and I know that that's one of the defining features of an Orthodox and a non-Orthodox minyan as to what language things are done in, and therefore people were very concerned with that in terms of microphones as well. Notwithstanding all of that, we saw that there were attempts to create Shabbos-friendly microphones. We saw Professor Lev in the 1960s, founder of Machon Lev, try to create one, and Rabbi Issa Yehuda Unterman looked sympathetically on that. And more recently, the Somit Institute and Rabbi Yisrael Rosen created a Shabbat microphone, although very few communities have adopted it for the reasons that we've spoken about. Now, all of that is an important introduction and a recap, because the hearing aids are effectively the same technology. There is a little microphone that's picking up the sound coming in. It's converted into electrical signals or impulses. It could be analog, it could be digital. I've given you certain details there. And these are converted back into sound through a speaker coming out of the inside of the hearing aid. And therefore, in theory, we're talking about basically the same thing. Sound going in, turning to electricity, sound coming out. Therefore, are we going to look at hearing aids the same way? And the answer is, we'll see, no, we are not. Before we get into that, just one more point, which is that there is another technology called the induction loop, which is a slightly different type of technology, which I think many communities have put into their synagogues, where there is a loop of wire which resonates a magnetic system whereby people with hearing aids can pick up the amplification of the sound, but people without hearing aids cannot hear any difference. So it is not like a microphone in the sense that the sound is amplified for everybody, but if you turn the hearing aid to the loop mode, then that will pick up the resonance of the loop system, and that will help people hear. That is much less problematic, people, than a microphone, because many of the issues that we have saw with microphones just don't apply to that. There's no noise involved. The only question is the person who is hearing impaired turning on or turning off the loop setting, and we'll talk about how that works. So let's go to page 2 and look at the hearing aid issue. Again, I only want to spend half the share on this. The other half I want to look at performing mitzvahs through these amplification systems. So let's have a look together now. There are 4 basic issues with hearing aids on Shabbat. One is turning it on and adjusting it. People forget to turn it on or need to turn it off, or it starts making a high-pitched noise. They have to fiddle with it, or they have to turn the volume up. That's one question. A second question is, speaking to somebody who is wearing a hearing aid, is that a problem on some level that you are causing the hearing aid to process that sound? And then the third and the fourth thing, which I'm not going to deal with in the shiur, are number 3 is, are you allowed to handle the hearing aid because of muksa issues? And without, to cut a long story short, it's basically fine. I'm not getting into why, although I've given you a reference in the footnotes to a very good article by Rabbi Elisha Sandler, who deals with this a few years ago in the Journal of Halacha. And the fourth issue is, are you allowed to wear it in a public domain on Shabbat where there is no Eruv? And again, that's basically fine. But just to flag that those are 2 issues which are debated, the Muksa issue and the carrying issue, in case you haven't thought of them, we're not going to deal with them because basically they're non-issues. But the question of turning on the hearing aid or turning it up and speaking into the hearing aid, that we need to look at. So let's look at Rav Moshe Feinstein. Obviously, anything that Rav Moshe writes is going to have to be taken extremely seriously. He was the premier posek of North America through the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s. So let's see what he says on this. I've split his tshuva here into 3 parts. And he deals with each of the 4 issues that he dealt with microphones, but you'll see he comes to exactly the opposite conclusion. These 2 tshuvas are next to each other in the Igros Moshe. One is number 84, one is number 85. In the microphone tshuva, he gives point 1, 2, 3, 4, says, I don't like any of them, it's prohibited. In the hearing aid tshuva, he goes exactly the same points, 1, 2, 3, 4, and on each of them he says, it's fine. We'll see why. Shimush b'machshir shmiya, l'cheresh b'shabbat, number 1. And this tshuva also is in 1969, the same time as the other tshuva. When I'm now talking about hearing aids for hearing impaired people, does it have the same halachic problems as a microphone, which he clearly said was a problem? Here, in contrast to the microphone, we're going to be lenient. Even though we have prohibited for exactly the same issues the microphone, for 4 reasons, 2 reasons because there's a concern, there's a Torah malacha, but it really wasn't that clear, and I said that last week with the microphone, it's really not that clear. And 2 reasons which are definitely prohibited, but these are rabbinic, and that becomes very important. Hine, second paragraph number 1. Hatam she'asav b'microphone mishum she'b'chol haderech she'b'nei adam l'chabro ha'elektri. The reason that we said that people normally turn on the electric on Shabbat, okay, rak v'shatit tzrikin adaber v'lo kodem, only when people want to speak and not earlier, Hari Isul Zeh Hu Dafke Badava Shemashmiya Kol Rabin. The problem of Hashma'at Kol, that I'm worried that people might think that you turned it on Shabbat, says the Rav Moshe, that's just a non-issue with hearing aids, because they don't make any noise. Hashma'at Kol is only things which have Uf Shemilsa, where there's a loud noise, like a mill grinding, or a microphone blaring out, or an amplification system. Here, it's a private hearing aid, no one can hear it. Kahada Natinat Chitim Latoich Rechaim, it's just not like the issue of putting in the grain into the mill, Shalmayim, Ba'erev Shabbos, Kishay Shitachnu B'Shabbos, so it'll get ground up on Shabbos, Kida'itha B'Shabbos, we see in the Gemara. Mishum Sheyomru, people will there will say, Shinatan Achitim B'Shabbos, you put the grain in on Shabbos, that's why it's working. U'Bachol Kiyagavan, and all similar things, She'uvsha Milta, where there's a loud noise on Shabbos. Shehu Shaykh the microphone, that's applicable to the microphone, Shehu Nishmal Rabim. It's public. The law of the Machonazor, but it's not applicable to a hearing aid. So he just quickly does away with that and says, no problem of Hashma'at Kol, only the person with the hearing aid can hear. Yeah. It's slightly different because cochlear implants have a different technology. I'm not 100% sure how they work, but as far as I'm aware, they don't make a sound at all, cochlear implants. What they do is they just put the electrical impulse directly into the nervous system that goes to the brain. So all of these issues, in terms of the Hashma'at Kol, it's a non-issue. Turning them on and off, we'll see, will be the same issue, but Rav Moshe is going to be basically quite lenient on certain of those issues anyway. So we'll see number two. So Hashma'at Kol is not relevant. What about the second issue? Maybe you come to play with it. You play with microphones. Do people play with their hearing aids? You bet you they do, all the time, okay? So Rav Moshe, what's he going to say? Number two. The hatam, the kibbutz ha'kol, yicholim l'taken. The reason that we might come to fix it, gam ken b'chlal is a cliche, and therefore there's the problem of cliche, of playing instruments which need fixing. The hamotze, it quite often happens, she mitkalkel, they break, v'yavol l'takno. And you have to fix them. Nami ein la'asa, but I'm not going to prohibit that for hearing aids, he says. I did for microphones, but not for hearing aids. Kevand, and he gives two reasons, fascinating in halacha. Kevand, who rak lecharashim sheyesh lahashiv zem milta deloy shericha. This is a drabonon. And we have a principle in mitzvahs drabonon that the rabbis never made protective fences on unusual circumstances. If it's an unusual, rare occurrence, that's normally not included in the Gezerah. And therefore, since this only applies to people who are hearing impaired, and they are a small minority of the population, we can safely assume, says Rav Moshe, this would never have been included in that rabbinic prohibition. Because it's a small population. They didn't make a Gezerah, number one. Obviously, the rabbis didn't specifically include hearing aids. But he's saying that they would never have included something that only applies to a minority. Vagam shehut sorech gadol, and let's go to another reason, it's a rabbinic prohibition. And here there is a significant need, ma'oid, le'elo hatzrichim lezeh, for people who need hearing aids, shebeloize yesh chashash pikuach nefesh, because there could be pikuach nefesh without a hearing aid, because sheyilzei leilech achutza, people want to walk in the street, shelo yishma nesiyat hamachoniot, they won't hear the cars, they won't hear the trucks, and people are not going to hear the traffic. It's dangerous. Now, very interestingly, why doesn't Rav Moshe simply say, let them stay at home on Shabbos. It's safer that way. He could have said that. If it was a halakhic problem, he could have said, you know something, pikuach nefesh, don't even go out in the street. He didn't say that. Presumably because that itself would be an offense to the personal dignity of the person to say that they have to stay at home. Now, interestingly, there is a remark in Shulchan Aruch, which I brought you in the footnote, which talks about someone who has a lot of money in the house. And he's worried about leaving the money in the house. Can he sew the money into his clothes and walk around carrying the money because he's worried that if he leaves it in the house, it won't be there when he gets home?
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos, yeah, on Shabbos. So he goes through the details backwards and forwards. And eventually the Ramoth says that if he can stay at home, then it's better to stay at home. So he'll miss shul, he'll miss, but he'll stay at home and he won't have to carry all the money around on Shabbos. So why doesn't Rav Moshe take the same view here? Let him stay at home, and presumably because for a person who has a lot of money, it's a temporary measure until he moves it from here to there. It's not the whole of their life. But for a person who has to wear a hearing aid, it's a permanent thing. And therefore, to say to that person they have to stay at home, that is not something which Rav Moshe even finds acceptable. So too, because it's a need, even nearly pikuach nefesh, it's not included in the gezera. Okay, shelo yavol hachashash yitak in tzaret ledabek eze davar. He gives you some advice. He says, on a practical level, why don't you stick some kind of sticker or something on the mechanism, the makom sheshayach hatikun, where people normally turn it on or off, to stop people from turning it on or up or down. So Rav Moshe doesn't want people to actually adjust the hearing aid on Shabbos. We'll go back to that in a minute. But he says, as long as you stick something on it to remind you that it's, you know, you can't, to stop you from doing it, a little bit like you'd say the light switch, putting a cover on the light switch. Just in case. Now, here's the fascinating halachic point. Had we concluded that it was indeed included in the rabbinic prohibition, it would not have worked to put a little bit of sticky glue there, because you can't get out of rabbinic prohibitions by making something up and saying, oh, it will be okay, I'll remember. That doesn't work. Why? Because of loplug. And loplug is a rabbinic concept which actually goes the other direction, which is that when the rabbis made a decree, they made it universal, so that people didn't say, well, it applies here but not there, and there but not there, and to him and not her, and therefore they won't take it seriously. Things that people sometimes yes do and sometimes people don't do, like a bit like tachanun in shul, they kind of play fast and loose with them, you know? If we can get away with it, we'll get away with it. So it says Rav Moshe, if it's really prohibited, you can't just make something up. But since I don't think it is prohibited, it's a good idea. Very interesting. Now, this makes a lot of sense. To give you another parallel example. The rabbis made a gezeira that you can't put food on, nothing to do with hearing aids, you can't put food on the gas just before Shabbat if the food is not sufficiently cooked. What's the concern? Maybe you'll come on Friday night and you'll see the food is not cooked, the people are coming, the guests are arriving, you'll freak out and you'll go crazy and you'll turn the gas up because you're too embarrassed, the food is not cooking. Ah, so why can't you just put up a sign? Hang a sign from the ceiling. Oh, it's Shabbos. Watch out. Don't touch that oven. It won't work. You have to do what Chazal said, which is put a cover on the flame or have the food fully cooked. Well, I don't know why. Why can't you just set a timer on your watch or something reminding you don't turn the food up or something, or have a voice coming out of the walls, or get Siri to remind you on your iPhone or whatever. Won't work. Because if it's in the gezeira, you can't wheedle your way out of it. But if it's not in the gezeira, he says, then you can take sensible precautions that like the light switch. Chazal never said you can't have a light burning on Shabbos in case you come to accidentally turn it off. They never said that. Since you can have a light burning, so now it might be sensible to put a switch on the light. If they said you can't have a light burning, a switch would not have helped. Interesting halakhic issue. And therefore he basically says, no problem, for these two rabbinic reasons that's not an issue. Please go over the page. What about the Torah issues? Wasn't Rav Moshe concerned that there are two potential Torah prohibitions on using microphones? Number three, the chashashot shehei me'inyan malacha. When it comes to the question of malacha, she'echad hu bezeh shekol anishma me'a microphone eina kol ha'adam ha'medaber. The voice coming out of the amplifier is not the person's voice. That's not. And she'nasi sham roishem, you've made some kind of electrical imprint creation on the machine, shall have a ratav of the echo of the voice. Umashenishmahu kol avara. We'll get back to this word avara later. You're hearing some new voice. Shenasecham. Hine af im neima shegam b'machanat shmiya zeh nasekein. Even if we say that the hearing aid does the same thing, and so you'd expect that I would say the same concern halachically of the possible doraisa. Since at the end of the day, says Rav Moshe, I'm not really sure that there's a problem, Daraisa. Remember in the tshuva on microphones, he said, Makeba Patish. Stick it in Makeba Patish. That's why it's Osa. Here he says, I don't really know what it is. Therefore, for someone with a hearing aid, we just don't have the ability to take these slightly more vague concerns and turn to someone and say, you can't wear a hearing aid. That we won't do. L'chayle, the person is a chayle eletzorich gadol. Now, again, normally speaking, a sick person or a serious need will not override a doraisa. He won't. But here he's not even sure if there is a doraisa. Kazer ma'acha shelo boru l'anayisa. See, we don't really know what the is. The chashash hasheni, and what about the second concern? Shemishtamish v'koach ha'elektri b'dibura. That you will actually turn up the volume when you speak. Maybe there's a separate problem turning up current, turning down current. Even though there's no fire involved, I'm also not sure it's so clear. It's not even a safek barur. What is a safek barur? A safek is a doubt, which is not clear. And barur means it's clear. So the Rav Moshe, again, fascinating in the halachic analysis, says there's such a thing as a safek barur. I clearly have a doubt. And there's another thing which is, I don't even know if I really have a doubt. Yeah, you have two pieces of meat in front of you. One is straight, one is kosher, you can't tell which it is. That's a safek barur. I know what I'm dealing with. There is a piece of trace meat here. Says Rav Moshe, this is not even that. This is something which I'm concerned, maybe. So he basically says, it's fine, you can wear it. Now, can you turn it up and down? No, Rav Moshe didn't like that. However, I will tell you that many other poskim, the general consensus is that there's no problem wearing hearing aids on Shabbos. Can you turn them up and down? So some poskim, I've brought you details in the full notes as well. Some poskim say, no, you shouldn't turn them on and off. The Shmir of Shabbos Kehil Chosa, which usually reflects the Pesach of Rav Shlomo Zalman, again says, yes, no problem to wear them, but you can't turn them on and off. But some people say you could maybe even be able to turn them on and off, since it's almost certainly a rabbinic prohibition electrically to turn them on and off. Given that it's a chayla and it's a case of significant need, if you can get a non-Jewish person to turn it on or off, that would work. You could ask them directly. If you can turn it on or off with a shinui, that might work as well. Again, because we're dealing with a drabonon, with a chayla, with a serious need, etc., that's not such a wild expansion of the halacha. Yes.
There's no concern about the battery dying.
There is a concern about the battery dying and changing the battery, which people may need to do. For example, the batteries on hearing aids these days last how long? A week. Well, then there's no problem. The old days, they used to last a day, more even. So when they used to last a day, Shabbos was not a problem, but they used to say, what if it's like a two-day yontif, a three-day yontif? Yeah, we have the delight now, the Manning is coming up, and we're flying to England today. We're going to London for Shavuot. I'm speaking over Shavuot. And this is the first Chag that we've been outside Eretz Yisrael since we came here in 2002. So we're looking forward to that. And it's 3 days. It's Shabbos and Sunday and Monday. So that'll be fun. So for 3 days of Yontov, people with a hearing aid often have to change the battery. So again, they wouldn't be able to do it themselves, or they maybe have to do it with a shinui, or just to ask a non-Jew. Same issue. Turning up and down, however, let's say the volume's wrong, that may be even less of a problem. Because we said before that even the first shear, we said, even though there may be problems halakhically with turning electricity on, we said the consensus was that's moilid. Moilid meaning creating some kind of scent or new energy. And we saw that turning that up, adding extra more of the same or taking away may not be a problem there. And therefore, many poskim are, and I saw this stack in the name of Rav David Cohen, I believe, as well, in Brooklyn. Many poskim are happier to say that you can turn up and down. Yes?
What about the principle of the
right. Yes, it does, and that's really where Rav Moshe was saying that he didn't want to prohibit wearing them. In a makom tsar, would you say if the volume was up or down, it's a makom tsar? I'm not sure it's a makom tsar. It's a tsarech. It's a need, and therefore you might be able to do with a shinui, etc., etc. Makom tsar, tsar means tsar. Maybe it's tsar not to wear the hearing aid at all, that you're stuck in the house. And by the way, it's an important point that the ladies made over there. Tsar, pain, includes psychological and emotional pain. So it was very clear when we had a shiur many moons ago on cosmetic surgery. I don't know if you remember that far back. There was a Tosfos there on the page that said that a person who was embarrassed to go out in the street because they had a disfigurement and they wanted to fix that was not a problem because that is real tsar. And we don't say that's just a cosmetic issue. Yes. Yes, squeak. Right. That would definitely be. So as I say, turning them up and down in that sense is really not such a halakhic problem. I've brought you the sources. I've brought you the people who say different things at the bottom. Now that's true, by the way, of a conventional hearing aid with a dial. The more modern technology that comes in, and you have now digital adjustments up and down, that becomes more problematic because that's not just turning up and down. That's turning other things on and off. Often the case is, you know, like fridges, the old-fashioned fridges, it was really simple. You just tape the light over with a piece of sellotape and you're done. Now the fridge thinks and speaks and does it for itself. It knows when it's Shabbos, it knows when it's Yom Tov. And if you start messing around, then the fridge gets unhappy. And now you have to pay extra for the new technology and then extra on top to have it disabled. So, you know, that's an interesting thing. Now, let's move on to something else, which is still on the issue of hearing aids, but I find this a fascinating issue. Rav Moshe, therefore, has said, really, there's no problem with a person wearing a hearing aid at all. Number four. And apart from all of this, source number four, what's the person wearing the hearing aid even doing? They're just walking around with something working. They're not speaking into it. So Hanidon hu ala medabrim. Really, he said, if we're asking a shaila, it's not on the person wearing the hearing aid. It's on the person speaking into it. It's like a microphone. People who are just speaking in the background, not directly to the person with the hearing aid. They're just like in the background noise. They are not specifically intending to operate this hearing aid. And we have a principle in Hilchos Shabbos that when you indirectly and unintentionally create, cause a malacha to happen, but you didn't intend it to happen, so then that's not a problem at all. So if you're speaking in the background and someone's wearing a hearing aid and you're not speaking to them, no shaila, no problem. The aim's a psik ratio, and that's not an inevitable operation of the hearing aid. The hakama pamim sha'af imam chona in the shomea. It happens often that people even wearing the hearing aid still can't hear anything. So there's certainly no problem with that. Only the people directly speaking to the person wearing the hearing aid. And many times that they do directly hear. And there is a psik ratio. I mean, it's an inevitable side effect. Even if they can hear without the use of the hearing aid. You are going to operate the hearing aid whether you like it or not. That after Leipzig creation has him, it's coming also, but even if you say it's not inevitable, you want the hearing aid to work. When you're speaking to them, your intention is that the hearing aid should work. And says Rav Moshe, therefore, I'm not entirely happy with this. And therefore, if it's possible, he says, better not to speak directly to the person wearing the hearing aid. But Taila Machonala Robert Madabrim, and the machine will work for the people in the background. The machine works, if you like, for the general noise, crossing the road, hearing in shul, shkoyach. But speaking directly, he's not happy. And this became a very controversial psak of Rav Moshe. When somebody asks, if the person wearing the hearing aid directly asks, please tell me this. Maybe yeshiva lo, you should answer him, shaloi bedibur, don't speak to him, ela beremiza. Don't speak but sign language. The im iesha, but if that's not possible, ke'uvda zo, like in the case that he was being asked about, shehi katana bat sheish, it was a little girl of 6 years old, wearing a hearing aid, nebach, he says that you can't sign and you can't, you know, make gestures, Shimukhrachim la shivla, that you have to answer directly. Ulefamim daske bedibur, and you have to speak directly. Eilasor. Don't get me wrong, says Rav Moshe. I actually don't hold it osur. If you have to, you can certainly speak into the hearing aid, but I prefer you not to. I prefer to find some other way of doing it. Now.
A husband is sitting at the shepherd's table with his wife who's wearing a hearing aid.
Right.
He can't change his voice,
Good. So go over the page. So go over the page and see how the reaction to that sack was came out. Now, most poskim, I will tell you, most poskim did not agree with this sack. As Mrs. Don quite rightly says, most poskim found this was not, they didn't agree with this. And I brought you a list of people who say that you can speak directly into a hearing aid, the Minchas Yitzchak, the Tzitz Eliezer, the Minchas Shloima, the Nishma Shabbos, the Satmar Rav, the Rabbi Vadi Yosef, all say absolutely you can speak directly into the hearing aid. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I brought you this beautiful little quote from the Hesper that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein gave at the funeral at the Levaya of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman died in 1995. And the following was said. Rav Aaron said the following. Once I visited Rav Shlomo Zalman, and I asked him about the issue of wearing a hearing aid on Shabbos. He permitted it. At the same time, he told me, you know, I can't believe it. Somebody sent me a letter from the States saying that Rav Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was careful not to talk to a person wearing a hearing aid on Shabbos for fear of speaking into the hearing aid and thereby performing a malacha. He told me he didn't believe this. He said, imagine, as if it's not enough that this person has been punished by heaven that he's deaf. The Gemara says that if someone's wounded in such a way that he becomes deaf, he's paid full damages, as though he ceased to function altogether, as if he died. This punishment isn't sufficient, he said. Imagine, you meet them in the street, and instead of greeting him, you say, mm-mm-mm. To him, says Rav Aaron, this was completely out of place. He couldn't bring himself to believe that this is what the situation required. Very interesting. And I thought that was an interesting contrast. And the truth is that even Rav Moshe Feinstein, at the end of the day, says it's okay. But he said he'd like you to avoid it. Now, it would have been interesting to see a conversation between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe on this issue and how you weigh up Chilul Shabbos, which is a very serious concern, with Kavod HaBriyos, with personal dignity, which is also a very serious concern, and how they weigh together. Now, I brought you, perhaps a little bit cheekily, in the footnote on the page before, but I'm not going to go into it now, Rav Shlomo Brody, who is a very interesting modern-day commentator, wrote a whole article on the way that English halacha svarim relate the actual halacha. And he noted there, you can read this in your own time, that one particular English sefer, which is a very good English Hilchos Shabbos sefer, when it related the halacha on speaking into a hearing aid, I just quote, it says, however, it says basically many poskim allow it, but then it said, however, since this is a matter of halachic dispute amongst the foremost poskim, with some restricting their use, one should avoid compromise if possible and not speak individually to a person wearing a hearing aid on Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Brody wanted to know, why was this the sack bottom line in an English sefer, when most of the poskim actually say it's fine? Rav Shlomo Zalman cannot believe that anyone could say it wasn't fine. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, who is the real one that says he doesn't like it, ultimately says that it is okay, he prefers not to. Why then do you end up with an English sefer that basically says don't speak to it? And he has a whole analysis as to why English halacha svarim tend to err on the side of being very machmir. And it's a very kind of dispassionate analysis, different reasons given there, and I brought you some of them, and I brought you the link to it, you can have a look at it, but this is a phenomenon, where usually, at least you can look in the footnotes. If the footnotes are in Hebrew, normally there are a lot of the details in the footnotes, but just the English, for example, Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa, you can buy just in English translation. It is not really the full picture by a long, long, long way. And the question is, why don't people want to give the full picture to the English-speaking public? That's for you to read in the footnote and think about. But that's all I want to say on it for now. Bottom line, most poskim will say, yes, absolutely, as Mrs. Dunn said, you don't have to try and hint your Divrei Torah at the Shabbos table to somebody who is wearing a hearing aid. Most people find it hard enough to say a coherent Divrei Torah, Dvar Torah, even if they're speaking. If they're hinting, then I there's no hope. Okay, fine. Now, let's go on to a completely different topic, but related, which is, okay, nowadays we have so many long-distance communications. Video calls, Skype, WhatsApp, more and more people are WhatsApp calling me on the phone. It doesn't actually work very well yet, I don't think, but I spend most of the conversation saying hello, hello. But okay, eventually it'll get there. Can you fulfill a mitzvah, like Havdalah, or listening to the Megillah over a video link, or a Skype link? Can you fulfill a mitzvah like Megillah through a microphone? Let's say they bring a microphone into the shul, because people at the back can't hear who say, now it's not a Shabbos question, it's not on Shabbos, it's a weekday, so there's no Shabbos issues, there's just a question, are you yotze the mitzvah? Can you fulfill the mitzvah of shofar by listening through a hearing aid? Or do you have to take the hearing aid out to listen to the shofar? I've seen many people wearing hearing aids remove the hearing aid on Rosh Hashanah. They can still hear something. They just can't hear as clearly, but better, they say, to hear a less clear but actual shofar sound than to hear a clearer, amplified sound through the hearing aid. I've seen that many times. Can you fulfill Tefillas HaDerech through a microphone on the bus? The bus is lurching from side to side. There's 70 people on the bus. Do you have to scream it, or can you say it through the mic? What about Sheva Brochas through a microphone? You're standing at a chuppah. How many chuppahs have we been to where some of the rabbonim say it's fine to say through the microphone and some of the rabbonim say no microphones? What's going on there?
My very machmir son doesn't allow the chuppah to be used a microphone.
Right, right.
He says 10 people have to hear it.
Directly. Right, so we'll get there. We'll get there.
So he has a silent chuppah.
He's not a silent chuppah.
No.
He's not alone on that. There are many people. Let's have a look at what they're thinking. Can you say amen to a bracha said on the radio? through a live feed, Bibi Netanyahu is making a Shechianu at the moving of the U.S. embassy in Yerushalayim. He made the Shechianu, okay? Yeah, maybe Shua should have given him a kippah. Okay, that doesn't invalidate the brocha, you know? So can you say Amen to the brocha? Maybe a brocha you want very much to say Amen to. Can you say that or not? And other such questions. So let's have a look at, this is actually not such a complicated issue. Let's have a look at it quickly. The main starting place for most poskim on this question is the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, number 6. Hatokei aletzorech habor. If you are blowing the shofar inside a bor is a pit in the ground. Or letoch hadut, or inside a dut is a pit in the ground which is lined with bricks. It's related to the word dud. We use the word dud as in a dud shemesh. Dud is a similar kind of word. Maybe it has like bricks lining the top as well. In other words, it's more constructed. Or letoch hapitom. Pitam is not the thing at the bottom of your esrog here. Some of the gears to say pitas. So there's a pitam or a pitas is a large, very, very large earthenware vessel that someone might be crouching inside, blowing the shofar. Why are people blowing the shofar inside a pit or inside an earthenware vessel? So the commentators say this was at times when there was a gezeiros shmad. There was a antagonism against the Jews, and they weren't allowed to openly perform mitzvahs. So someone's blowing the shofar inside a pit. So, says the Mishnah, Im kol shofar shama, if you heard the shofar itself, yatsa, then you did the mitzvah. The im kol havara shama, but if you only heard the voice, the noise of the havara, and what's the havara? The echo. We'll have to see exactly what that means halachically. Lo yatsa. You didn't do the mitzvah. Now, what would the echo be? Something bouncing off the walls, presumably. That's an echo. So the Gemara clarifies in number 7. Amar Rav Huna, lo yishanu ela lo'oisam ha'oimdim al svat habor. The only question here was those who were outside the pit, listening to some guy inside the cave or whatever, blowing the shofar, they have to work out, are they hearing a direct shofar line with the sound waves, or are they hearing echoes? Aval oisam she'oimdim bebor, but people with them inside the pit, yot, that's fine, because there's no question they're hearing the real deal. But those people hearing a distant sound, what's with them? So the halacha, it's like there's a very interesting debate as to what is a havara. And let's have a look here in this bir halacha number 8. V'nirimecha taz. So first of all, the Chofetz Chaim here brings a taz, who was a very important post 17th century Poland. The mafarish kol havara. What is kol havara? It's kol chalush, a weak sound. The kol anishma michutz lebinyan, something you might hear outside the building, umerachok, from a distance. I'm on number 8. The enu kol kach chazak, kamosh kol shenishma mikarov, ubibifnim. So, what is a havara? Says the Taz, a havara is not necessarily a bounced sound or an echo. It's a distant sound, where you're not really hearing a clear sound, but it's coming over the hills, let's say. Somebody's doing, what's that stuff they do in the Alps? Yodeling. And you can hear over the Alps the sound of yodeling coming over from a distance. So that, says the Taz, that's a havara. Aval, lefi anias daiti, says the Mishnah, I don't agree. I don't think that's what a havara is. The kol havara, ha'omur le'inyan shofar, when it comes to shofar, what is it called havara? Pei Rishol, what does he mean? Kol mu'urvav. It's a sound which is mixed with other sounds. You're now getting a combination of sounds. Sounds from the, directly from the shofar, sounds from the wall bouncing off. Therefore, two very different understandings of havara. According to the Taz, it could be direct. It's just distance. It's quiet. The problem is it's quiet. You can't make it out. The problem, according to the Mishnah Brewer, is not that it's quiet. It could be very loud. It's just a combination of sounds, and you need to have the direct sound. And this, if we apply this to the issue of speakers and microphones, we come up with some interesting questions. First of all, is this only a halacha for shofar? Maybe this only relates to shofar. There's a special din with shofar. It's a Torah mitzvah. You have to hear the direct blow of the shofar. That indeed was the understanding of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, which is brought by the Minchas Yitzchok, and therefore other mitzvahs don't necessarily apply in that way. And is a sound coming out of a speaker, is that a havara or not? Now, according to the Taz, who said a havara is a quiet, indistinct sound, well, that's not a havara. It's very clear. But according to the Mishnah Brura, who said a havara is a combination of non-human sounds, bounced off the wall sounds, well, maybe that's a havara. you're getting the electrical impulses causing the sound to come out. How does that work? And if we go over the page, we'll see that there was one potential early source on this, but most of the sources are 20th century. Rav Yaakov Hagiz was 17th century Morocco. He is most famous as being the arch opponent of Shabtai Tzvi. All the way through, he insisted that Shabtai Tzvi was a fraud. Even when many of the greats in the world were convinced that Shabtai Tzvi was the real deal, Rav Hagiz said, no, he is not, and he turned out to be quite correct. He wrote the following tshuva about Megillah. Number 9, Shiloh, he says. Hayoshvim b'ma'ara. There's a group sitting in a cave. V'koyin et ha-Megillah. And they're reading Megillah's Esther. V'echad shomi merechoik. And one of them is sitting very distant, and what he can hear is, and shomi merechoik, habat kol. Mazid bat kol? A whisper, a low sound. He can hear a bat call. The chaim b'shofar, or maybe even with a shofar in the altar. Did they do the mitzvah? The loisha shamakol havara. I'm not talking about a havara here. El a bat call barur. What's the difference between a bat call and a havara? There is a difference. He says it's not clear what the difference is. It sounds to me like he's taking the definition of the taz on the havara, which is a havara is a very distant, indistinct sound, and he's saying, no, here you're not hearing a distant sound, you're hearing a bat call, which is a bounced off sound, it's a second degree sound, but it's very clear. Okay, interesting. Look at what he said. Esher the kevin the ba'inu shomeo mashmir. He says, no, I think you need a speaker and a listener. But also bat call shenekol v'nitzdayer ba'aviru poreach. This bat call is not coming straight from the mouth of the person, it's floating in the air, it's a created sound. Ein lo od kesher im hamashmiya. It has no direct connection with the mashmiya. The mashmiya is the speaker. The speaker and the sound are now disconnected, he says. So lo yatsa, and you didn't fulfill a mitzvah. Remez adava, and I want to bring you a hint to that from Yirmiyahu. Vayom alahem baruch, mipiv yikra elai. When Baruch is talking about Yirmiyahu, who dictated the famous letter that Yirmiyahu gave to Baruch ben Neria to read, to the king, etc., when Yirmiyahu was imprisoned. So he said, I heard this from his mouth. Says Rabbi Hagiz, the ba'inun shomea min hapeh. In order to do a mitzvah, you have to hear it from the mouth. That's why Baruch said, mipiv. Ulefize esha she'edim she'shamu bat kol shel megadeh. And he brings an interesting example. What happens if somebody, God forbid, hears someone cursing God's name? The megadeh. What if I heard an echo of that? Can I go to Beit Din and say, oh yes, I heard him say X, Y, Z? Or the answer is, yeah, you didn't hear that. You heard a bat call. You heard something bouncing off the walls. That doesn't count. The Ein Beit Din Mekablin bat call. We don't accept the bat call in the Beit Din. Only the real thing. Now, what makes this very interesting is that in the brackets, the editor at the end of this tshuva, I'm not entirely sure who the editor is, he writes here, Ulefi zeh lo yatsa im shama tkiya shofar or megillah. Therefore, on that basis, you're not yotze when you hear megillah or shofar, al yidei phonograph the telephone. Now, for sure, Rav Hagiz didn't write phonograph or telephone, okay? But the editor put in, on this basis, you're not yotze. You can't do mitzvahs through the telephone or through the phonograph, or maybe even through the microphone. And I was speaking to someone in Alon Shvut. Apparently before we arrived, there was a whole tumult one year for Kriyas Megillah. They hadn't told anyone, but they brought in a microphone, and they did Megillah through a microphone, and there was a whole big machlokas, so should we leave, should we stay, what should we say, what should we do, because hearing Megillah through a microphone is not so straightforward at all. And you see from Rav Hagiz, it might be that you're not Yotze. Why might you not be Yotze? Let's put it the other way. Why are you Yotze? If I have a chiyuv to read the Megillah or say a bracha, and a gentleman over there does it for me, and I listen, why does that count? That's the principle of shomea ka'ona. Where does that come from? Look at number 10. Amar Rav Shimon bar Pazi, Amar Rav Yeshua bit maybe, Gemara in Sukkah, Mishum bar Kapra, minayin l'shomea ka'ona. How do I know that if I have a chiyuv to do something, and somebody else does it, I'm standing at the Shabbat table at Kiddush, and the balabais is making kiddush, and I'm listening, that's good enough. That's as if I said it. Where do we know that from? We all know that halacha, we do it all the time. Handy to see where it's from. Look at the Gemara. He brings a posik of Yoshayahu HaMelech. Et kol divrei ha-sefer asher kara melech Yehuda. Remember, this is the famous story of Yoshayahu HaMelech. They found the Sefer Torah, or what was it they found? Was it Dvarim? Was it, to start with a whole shiur on biblical criticism here, but that's not the time or the place. What was it they found? They found something, and they read it out. The king read it, says the Gemara, V'ki Yoshiyahu Karam. Did Yoshiyahu read it? V'haloi Shafan Karu. Shafan read it. Dichtivit, it says, V'yikru Shafan, Dichtnei Amech. The second in command said it. Shafan said it. If the king was listening, it's as if the king said it. That's why it says the king said it. This is where we know the principle of Shomer Ka'ona. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, here, Rav Moshe again, in a tshuva, actually quite interestingly says he's not sure if your yotze through a microphone, but actually he thinks you probably are yotze through a microphone. And look at why he says that. He says, the Kriyas Megillah Al Yidei microphone. He named that number 11. B'davah b'kriyas ha-megillah al-yidei, a microphone, kashel loyma b'zeh halacha brura. Number 11. He says, I find it difficult to be clear on this. Many, this is why a lot of these shuvas are very interesting, because he's trying to feel his way through. I'm not 100% sure. Aval ma'ashe p'shita lei, it's obvious to you, she'ein yotzen b'shmiya al-yidei microphone. The questioner writes in and says, I'm sure that you're not yotzen through a microphone, the Megillah. He says, how are you so sure? Okay, and it could be that it's you're worried that you're hearing the Megillah from someone who isn't obligated to say the Megillah, which is the speaker. The speaker has no chiyuv to say the Megillah, and I'm listening to the speaker say the Megillah, the amplifier. The guy here, do'omrim hamumchim b'tibur shel microphone sheloy moti mamash hakol shel adam. The microphone is not my actual voice being amplified. By the way, there is a whole different system we didn't mention before, which is a compressed air microphone system, which doesn't work on electricity at all, which takes the actual voice of the speaker and using compressed air amplifies the voice. That might be different. As far as I'm aware, that technology didn't really get anywhere, and nobody uses that anymore, but there was a discussion of that. But he says the electric microphone, he says, is not your voice. And then he says, your problem is that it's not a barachiyah. You said it, maybe it's a havara, but it's not a havara, because again, Rav Moshe understands a havara is a quiet sound, and like the Taz, and he says, this is not a quiet sound. It's not a havara. The problem is not the echo. The problem is that the speaker is not obligated in saying the Megillah, and I am. So how can I hear the speaker? Now look at what Rav Moshe says, second paragraph. V'hinei ledidi mitzvah tova. I have a great question here. Af im neimashah ha'emes ka'aminit ha'mumpo. Even if you say that the experts, the technology experts are right. Shaloi nishma kol ha'adam. And when I listen to that, I'm not listening to a real human voice. Ela kol acher, but a different voice. Shenasa mikola, which has been synthesized. By the way, this also feeds into the whole question of kol isha. If you really hold that what's coming out of the speaker is not a human voice, then why is there a problem of kol isha? And we talked a little bit about kol isha on this issue. Most of the poskim say, no, a female voice coming out of a microphone is still a problem of kol isha. So the question is, how does that work? Can you have your cake and eat it, if you like? Can you say it's not a human voice, but it is a human voice, and many of the poskim bring that up. Mitam shekeinu she'al kol panim rakashu kore nishma hakol, yesh lahachshin zeh kishmiat kol mamash. But I'll tell you something, says Rav Moshe. Okay, the speaker is not my voice, but it only speaks when I do. It doesn't speak for itself. Okay? And therefore, since it only speaks when I speak, the harikol zesh nishma ose kolo mitam shekivin shal kol. Sorry, I missed the line. Kolo mamash. That could be my voice because it's only speaking when I speak. Uminayin lanu etzim koach hashmiya eich hu sheulai hu gam ken ba'open zeh shenivra eiz adava ba'ave umagi elazno. What is speech? He always gets philosophical here. What is speech? Speech is me causing sound waves to hit your eardrum. That's what speech is. So if I do that through a electric amplifier, so what difference does it make? I am still causing sound waves to hit your eardrums. So maybe that's called speech. Could be what's coming out of the microphone when I speak. You can hear it. That's called a voice. What is a voice? A voice is you hearing sound waves that I caused. I think that's logical. I think that makes sense. The gamlo boror hadavar. I'm not totally clear. Okay. Ma'orushu kol acher. Okay. ומטעם זה, אפשר אין למחות ביד אלו שרוצים לקרוא מגילה על ידי מיקרופון. So I'm not prepared to criticize people who read Megillah through a microphone, מצד ההלכה, on the halacha basis, וכיל כול המצוות האחרת, oh, you're going to tell me this is the thin end of the wedge, this is just going to lead to other things, שהולה שופר, now they'll be blowing shofar through a microphone, וקריאת התורה בשבת, they'll be doing קריאת התורה through a microphone, ויום תפ... I don't think so, he says. I don't think it's going to come to that. So how often is that with a microphone on Shabbos? Haven't I already made clear you're not allowed to use a microphone on Shabbos? So who's going to use a microphone for Tekiah Shofar and Laning? Not a problem. The Yom Tov. Or the Mitzvah's Dibur Shebachol, in Gam King Yikru, a microphone who ain't Limchoz B'Megillah. And therefore, since it's a weekday, it's not a Shabbos, maybe it's not a problem. By the way, what about Kriyas HaTorah during the week? What about if you bring an amplification system to the kotel on Thursday morning and the bar mitzvah boy is saying his bit? You amplify, you put it on a speaker. Is there anything wrong with that?
Yes, it disturbs other people.
Well, it disturbs other people, you're right. Well, everyone else will do the same thing and then you'll end up with everybody screaming through a microphone. It could be, Rav Moshe Sternbuch says, it could be that with Kriyas HaTorah it's less of a problem still. Not on Shabbos, obviously. Because you actually don't have, it's not like Megillah. Megillah, you have an obligation to read Megillah. I'm doing it for you, and you're listening and fulfilling it. Kriyas HaTorah, you have no obligation to read the Torah. The community has an obligation to have a Torah reading. But you don't actually fulfill a mitzvah by listening to it. So, machpatli, if it's through a microphone, not through a microphone, if it's not Shabbat. So it could be that's fine. That's one of the reasons, by the way, if you go to Chutz La'aretz in this time of year and you miss Parshas, you don't, according to most people, you have to make them up again because you don't have an obligation to read the Torah. The community has an obligation to have a Torah reading, and it did. Yes. When did they amplify it? What did they? Because Kohenim. That's very interesting. Because again, it makes sense. I have no chiyuv to say Birkas Kohenim. I'm not fulfilling Birkas Kohenim through listening to them. They have a chiyuv to project Birkas Kohenim to me. And the truth is, Rav Osher Weiss, I'm not going through the whole tshuva, number 12, he says that Rav Moshe makes a lot of sense, even though many other poskim were unhappy with it. And you really have a big machlokas on this issue, whether you can be yoked through a microphone. I brought you a whole list of poskim in the footnotes here who say that you can be yoked, including the Shai Shuvah Sharideya, the Shai Shuvah Eretz Tzvi, Rav Vosner, the Minchas Alozer of Munkach. There was a tradition, the Munkatcher Rebbe said you could be Yotzer through a microphone, again, not on Shabbos. Then the Munkatcher Hasidim said, no, he changed his mind. And there's a whole debate within Munkatch as to whether you can or you can't. But there's an equally strong list of people who say it doesn't work. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was very unhappy with it, did not agree with Rav Moshe at all. Rav Menashe Klein, Rav Yaakov Reich, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Deborah Sina Rov, and many others as well. And I brought you some footnotes on that issue. So what do you do, bottom line? Well, it depends who you ask, is the answer. Some people will say, yes, you can use a microphone for Tfilat HaDerech, and some people will say you can't. Rav Sobolovsky, Rav Tzvi Sobolovsky in YU, who is the official poskim for NCSY. NCSY have this shiloh all the time. Havdalah. Can you make Havdalah? They have. If you've ever been to an NCSY event, Havdalah, I've been involved in NCSY for a little bit now, Havdalah is a big deal. Okay? After they've had Shalosh Sudos and the whole sing-song and it's a very big thing, they come in, there's a whole band set up and there's a musical Havdalah and dancing and singing and it's a... Can you say Havdalah through the microphone? So Rav Tzvi Sobolovsky's check is, the Psukim, Hinei El Yeshua, Siyev, Tach, Veloy, you're fine. No problem. You can do what you like. You can stand on your head, you can sing them, it's beautiful. Those brochas, he says, no, don't use the microphone for the brochas. If they use the microphone, you don't have to repeat it, he says. But you shouldn't use it. So too for Tfilas HaDerech, there are people who say that you shouldn't use a microphone as well. For Chuppah, the point that you made before, it's a little bit different. You have to have a minion present at the Nisuin for the Chuppah. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the minion has to hear the brachas. They have to be present, but they're not being yotze. The minion, the people, the men in the minion, don't have an obligation to say the Sheva Brochas. They have to be there when Sheva Brochas are said. So most poskim actually don't get involved in saying no microphones, especially when, you know, the Sabbath coming up and Great Uncle Harry and who knows what else. They don't always sing so clearly. Okay? So most poskim say you can use a microphone at a chuppah. Rav Sobolovsky says he doesn't get involved. He says it's okay. Shalom bayis. He doesn't stop it. Although others, Rav Hirsch Shach, say is not happy with it at all. So your son is in good company. Yes, sir. The Edim are standing right there. And they have to hear Hari Atma Kudesh at me. That's all. They don't have to hear the Sheva Brachas. They can hear Hari Atma Kudesh at me. So you're going to ask me, what if the Edim are profoundly deaf? That's an interesting shaila. Okay? That's a good shaila. Do they have to hear it or do they have to see it? I don't know the answer to that. Yes. That's fine. Nobody has that. There's no chiyuv going on there. Which brings me to the last point, which is a very good point, which I'm going to bring up now. Which is very often when we hear something or say amen, it's not actually a halachic obligation. You're saying amen to a brocha because you should say amen to a brocha. You're not being yotze, you're not fulfilling a mitzvah. If you're fulfilling a mitzvah, you have to hear something. If you're not, do you have to actually hear it? And that brings up the question of saying amen to a brocha on the radio, etc. Just look at one last source in number 13, and we'll finish with this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is a Gemara in Sukkah, quite famous. Misha Loi Duplus, how do you pronounce this? Duplustin, okay, Duplustan, Shel Alexandria. If you haven't seen the double colonnade of the Alexandrian Shul Shel Mitzrayim, Loi Ra B'Chvoidan Shel Yisrael, you've never seen an impressive shul in your life. You've got to go to Alexandria. This was the great shul in Alexandria, the Basilica Synagogue, founded in the 4th century BCE, and was destroyed by the Romans in 117 CE. Says the Gemara, if you never saw this shul, you never saw a shul. Amru Kamin Basilica Gadoila Haita. It was a great basilica. It was an enormous building. It was like layers and columns before columns. It was multi-columns. There were 600,000 people there. Maybe this is a bit of an exaggeration. Sometimes it surely feels like there are 600,000 people there. But maybe even more. And there was a big bimah of wood in the middle. The chazan ha-kneses, the chazan means the gabai here, Omed Alea would stand on the bimah. The Hatsidurim Bayado, and he would hold a big flag in his hand. The Kaven Shehigia Le'anot Amen, when it was time to say Amen to the Brocha of someone making Birkas HaTorah, Asher Bachabanu, Halomenit Besuda, they would wave the flag, the Chol Amon Im Amen, and the people would say Amen. They couldn't hear anything. You couldn't hear anything. All you could see is the guys waving a flag, they say Amen. So Tosfos asks, how can you say Amen to a Brocha you can't hear? And the answer is, if you're being yotze, if they're doing it to fulfill your, then you have to hear it. But if you're just answering amen like a person should answer, so you don't have to hear it. So you can say, most folks can say, you can say amen to a bracha on the radio, to a bracha on the television, as long as it's live. You can't say a bracha to a recording. You're watching an old wedding video, yeah? From 20 odd years ago. You can't say a bracha, amen, you know, where they make, that you can't do. Sorry, you missed that. And even on the radio, you have to know if there's a delay. Sometimes there's a delay on the radio, and what you're hearing is 6 seconds or so behind what's going on. That's too late. Not just that, but it's not a question of echo, because you don't have to hear the thing. You just have to know it's happening, like the flags. So if you know there's a delay on the radio, because it's a talking program or whatever, so then you can't say the amen. But you have to know the technology a little bit. But other than that, things, Be'ezrat Hashem, work nicely. One last question, by the way, which is, can you join a Skype minion? A group of men aren't able to get to shul, but they all have a Skype connection. Can they all stand there with their talis and tefillin on and connect to each other through Skype? I brought you a reference to an article there, which I'm not getting into now. So that, I think, brings to a close these three shurim on electricity on Shabbos. Next time, as I said, we're going to other uncharted territories, which I think will be very interesting to us all. Have a wonderful week.